Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen Arnn's Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I'm excited about your future today and what God is going to do in and through the words that we speak on today in your heart and spirit. God have a blessing for you. Reach up and grab it. It's yours just for the asking. On today, our lesson is going to be on Paul's farewell message to the Ephesians elders. So we're going to be talking about what Paul was saying and setting the tone when he was getting ready to leave, but he left some instructions that are very relevant for us today as children of God. So I pray you have your Bible as we sit down and commune together on this day. Today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter number 20, verses number 7 through 26. And I'm going to read that in your hearing because, again, we must recognize that in this passage of Scripture, Paul is exhorting believers to watch their personal walk and to minister to others. And we as children of God today, we must take control over our personal walk with God and be mindful in the same token to minister unto others. And so I'm going to read in your hearing in this particular passage. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and calls to the elders of the church. Let's take note as we progress through here that here Paul was speaking directly to the elders of the church. And the scripture said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but how have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. And so here Paul was talking about, he didn't hold nothing back, but he was sharing, he was open unto the people of God as he went from house to house publicly declaring what God was saying, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. So here Paul is setting the tone, and he's giving his farewell speech of letting them know that he wanted to finish his course with joy, because he had received this ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of God's grace. And so here Paul is reiterating his purpose. And I want to say to the people of God today that we must know our purpose, so that if even like Apostle Paul, he stated that he wanted to complete his work and his course with joy. Once you know your purpose and be able to tap into your purpose so that you can finish this course with joy. And so that's what Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, that he knew what his course was. He knew what God had called him to do, and that he didn't keep anything back, but he was thoroughly and purely open unto the people of God, declaring that which God has given unto him. And so let's look at our focus verse on today. is Acts 20 and verse 27. And it says here, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of counsel of God." And so here again, Paul is setting the tone. He said, "I didn't shun. I didn't hold nothing back because I want you to know everything that God wants you to know as a child of God to equip you and to enable you." And so that's what we want to look at today, is looking at the whole scope of what Paul was talking about as his personal walk with God. And we must recognize that we as individual, we must take responsibility of our own personal walk with God. A lot of time we talk about and we hear, you know, taking dominion. And I am one of the persuasion that, yes, God wants us to take dominion. But a lot of time when we think in terms of dominion, we fail to think in terms of taking dominion over ourselves, taking dominion over our thoughts, taking dominion over our emotion, taking dominion over our own physical man, taking dominion over our finances, taking dominion over our spiritual destiny, taking dominion over our families, our home, our children, and taking dominion over everything that God has given and our nations that God has given us as children of God, taking dominion. And so we want to look at what Paul was talking about here. But we want to encourage the child of God today that you got to take dominion over your destiny that God has already mapped out for you and begin to line your life up with God and the words of God and what God is calling you out to do. Sometimes you just need to take your Bible and sit down and sit before God, even like Mary. Mary chosen the better part. Remember when Martha and things, she was coming about with so many things, and she began to tell Jesus, you know, Mary's not helping me, and I'm left here all alone to take care of all the things. But what Mary had did, she recognized that Jesus wasn't going to be with her all the time. She recognized that she needed to catch that word. She needed to receive something for the Lord Jesus Christ himself because he was there in the midst. And sometimes we miss the move of God by being so encompassed about with so many things and distraction and allowing things just to come upon us instead of saying, "No, I'm going to get this word. I'm going to receive what God is speaking into my heart, and I'm going to move and act on what God is telling me on this day." And so that's where Mary was at. She wanted to hear a word from the Lord and what God was speaking to her church and her spirit, her heart, her mind, because she was taking dominion over her destiny by receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment. And so it is as we go into the house of God. When we go to our Bible study, when we go into prayer, we must go with a set mindset that I'm not going because I know I need to go, but I'm going because I want to hear what God is saying to my spirit, my church, my house, my destiny, my future. I'm going to hear a word from the Lord. And when I go, I'm going that even the choir will speak a word. Even when I'm there, I want to hear a word out of the scripture reading today that's coming from the Lord. I want to go and I want to hear what the man or the woman of God is speaking today, what the Lord is saying to my church today. And so this is Paul. He wanted to make clear to the elders of the church of Ephesus that he was getting ready to depart. He was getting ready to leave a word. This is his final failure unto the church. And so we as children of God, we got to give ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church. Mama can't tell us. Daddy can't tell us. But you got to get this for yourself. Yes, they can stand in our gap for us, but there come a time that you got to get a word from the Lord and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church today. And so this is what we're going to be talking about. And let's look here. We already laid the foundation, and let's go to the next level here and look in here, because I want you, when we leave these air on today or this lesson at this moment that you are listening to it, I want you to leave this place with a greater commitment in your heart that you will open your ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And how are you going to do that? When you go to Bible study, you're going to say, Lord, speak to my heart. I want to hear what you're saying to me. When you cross your foot over the threshold of that house of God, when you step your foot in there, you're going to be listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart on that moment, that time, right there of what he's saying. And so let's look here at the introduction. The book of Acts is much more than just ancient history. It depicts that many various aspects of the ministry of the apostle. The apostle, child of God, is those that have seen God and were sent by God. They seen him, they witnessed him, and they were sent out to accomplish his will because they were eyewitness of what God had done. It is a book that gives a true picture of the Church of Jesus Christ, which reflects the nature and character of Jesus in its dealings with a sin-plagued world shunned in darkness. Although the specific events and experience of the apostle occurred about 2,000 years ago, the substance of their ministry consists of timeless principle and truth that are relevant to the church of all generations. And I think that that is something that we have to really embrace as the children of God. We must recognize that everything that we read in the Bible, the principles and things, yes, we may have cell phones now, we may have iPods now, but the same principles and the same truth that was relevant for the apostles and things are still relevant for the church today. And that's what we're looking at, is the principle. Even though that their times and their cultures may be different, but the principle and the truth of the words still remain. I just feel the power of God right there in his principle and his word. The book of Acts is the defining book of the New Testament. It defines what it means to be born again and to become a part of the New Testament church. It further defines the purpose of the church through the preaching and the practices of the apostles of Jesus. Now, I want you to get that, because that is very key for the children of God. Right there, what I just said, and I'm going to repeat that because I want you to grab a hold of that principle. The book of Acts, it defines the purpose of the church. Now, this is the key. Grab it. Through the preaching and, this is it, the practices of the apostles of Jesus Christ and the early believers as they sought to fulfill the great commission which he gave them prior to his ascension. So here what you're seeing, you are seeing the actual living word or the apostles of practicing the things of God. And that is key, children of God. He gave the commandment in the gospel, but here we see in the book of Acts of the apostle living that out. Come on and put your hands together for God. Amen. And we bind the forces even of darkness in Jesus' name. The book also established both by preaching and precedent what the church should expect as his encounters of the forces of darkness in this world even today. So it depicts and let the children of God know that, yes, they're going to deal with the forces of darkness that come up against the church. But the power of the Holy Ghost that was there in the book of Acts is still active and alive even today in this world. Can you shout hallelujah? Paul's statement of Acts 20 offered an outstanding insight into the nature of the relationship and interaction that existed between the church and the world. In his final discourse to the ministering elders of the church of Ephesus, Paul profiled the essence of the nature and the character of the church. He further enumerated what it would be to expect as the church seeks to propagate the only saving gospel to the lost people of this world. And so here, Paul began to let the church recognize that the church would be, and Paul was, persecuted. And so let's look at that over in Acts chapter 20, verses number 18 and 19. It said, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." And this is what Paul was talking about in the scripture. And he was talking about he was frequently being persecuted. So, child of God, if you find yourself in a moment where you constantly are being persecuted, you must recognize Apostle Paul, who was an example. He was being persecuted as well. And let's look at that. That the church was at enmity with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. These are three entities that came up against Apostle Paul and that he was fought against. He was fought against in the world, his own flesh, and the devil. And those are the three elements that the child of God is still yet being fought against with today. The world, the flesh, and even the devil. Let's look here. It said, throughout all the centuries of its existence, the church had been perpetuated at the enemy with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The manifestation of this hostility are at times obvious and even more involve physical persecution. Often such persecution comes from those who are religious but refuse to accept the doctrine of the church. A prime example of this existent enemy lies in many persecutions suffered by the Apostle Paul as he preached the gospel to those of his generation. Many of the things he suffered were from the Jews, the very people who crucified Jesus. In spite of the clear prophecy of the coming Messiah throughout the Old Testament, despite their intense longing for him to come, the majority of the Jews adamantly refused to believe that Jesus Christ was the one predicted. For the most part, they rejected him and deliberately opposed the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. They did not believe it and did not want anyone else to be given the opportunity to hear it. Hence, many of the Jews proposed a great hatred for the Apostle Paul, and they openly opposed him as he endeavored to fulfill his mission to those of his generation. And so Paul, he came up under great persecution. Now let's look here at another point. The persecution suffered by Paul was not unique. The persecution suffered by Paul was not unique to him alone, for others of the early church also faced the same opposition. The opposition and resistance the early church endured resulted from their fundamental conflict with the forces of darkness against the knowledge of truth. Satan desired to eliminate any threats of his domain, and he seeked to keep individuals ignorant of the truth of God's word. It was true in the day of Jesus, true in the day of the apostle, and is still true today, that he wants to keep the church, the people, in the spirit of darkness, not knowing the truth. And so that's why Paul told the elders at the church of Ephesus, "I didn't shun, I didn't stop, I didn't hold back none of the truth. I shared the truth. Even with much tears, even with much persecution, Paul shared the truth and gave the truth." And so here Paul specifically enumerated a few of the hardships that he suffered over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want us to look at that. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse number 24 through 26 and 27. He said, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Twice was I beaten with a rod. Once was I stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. And Paul began to just lay it out. All these things was occurring unto him. But Paul was faithful to his mission. And you may be find yourself in one of those conditions, but I come to tell you, stay faithful. Faithful to that which God has called you to. Yes, you're going to suffer persecution. Yes, you're going to find yourself among false brethren and among heathens and perils among your own country member and things and perils of water. But stay faithful to the purpose that God has called you to. And that's one of the things that God said when Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? Will the people of God be faithful to that which I have called you to? Now, let's look at another point about Paul. He was dedicated to the truth of the word of God. And that's one of the things that is greatly fought against the children of God, even our younger generation. There are so many things that's coming up against their mind that's challenging them to challenge that which they believe in. And this is the greatest struggle for our young people today. They're being taught, even in their classroom, to challenge their own values, challenge even what their parents have taught them and the whole thing. But we must teach them to be dedicated to the word of God. And this is what Paul did. To successfully resist the forces of darkness required dedication to the word of God. When a Christian believes that the gospel preached by the early church is the only message by which people can be saved, they should commit themselves to it completely. And this is the element that has come to deceive even our younger generation, that for them to even challenge the word of God, to challenge that. But I come to tell the children of God today, don't. God is not marked. Whatsoever a man weep, that's what he's going to sow. It is not changed. The principles of God still stands and remains the same and true today. The gospel Paul preached and the other apostles clearly invaded the satanic realm in which people were held in bondage and ultimate damnation. That the God used that gospel to set the captive free. And the same gospel is setting the captives free today, is unshackling the bonds and taking the scales off of the eyes of many today. The gospel of Christ brings deliverance and freedom from sin. It is no wonder that Satan rose up in opposition against it, because it brings and it liberates and it delivers people from sin. And don't you know hell has enlarged itself? It said when the gospel is preached today, it still brings deliverance and spiritual freedom, and it still attracts opposition from the enemy of our soul. Contrary to what is believed by some, God is not an ecumenical God whose benevolence extends to incorporation of the kingdom by people of all faith on the basis of sincerity. Rather, God calls all people to a place of decision where they must abandon their personal ideas, vibrant belief to embrace by only the true gospel of salvation. So in the gospel always engenders some type of a conflict, And so a lot of times people want to embrace everything. God is not embracing everything. And yes, he, all things is created by him. But he said, whosoever will, let them come. He's given our own volition, our own mind to accept the gospel. And that everybody is not receiving sound doctrine and things. And we must be mindful of that. And this is what Paul is trying to warn the elders of the church of Ephesus. And so let's look where we're at here. He said, we can be certain that wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, it will result in some rejection as well as persecution. And I believe, my own personal opinion, is that many people abandon the Lord Jesus Christ because of the rejection they receive and because of the persecution, not recognizing that even the Apostle Paul and the early founders of the church or workers of the church, they were rejected and they were persecuted because, guess what? The devil don't want the truth to go forth. And because you're standing and representing truth and you're being rejected and persecuted, that don't mean that you are not doing what God wants you to do. It means that you are, and the forces and the darkness of this world is coming up against the truth that is in you. And you must recognize that and think that even the Lord Jesus Christ, he was persecuted. And so I want to say again is that when you begin to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find yourself rejected and persecuted. And so don't be overthrown by that. That's not your measuring stick. It could be the measuring stick that, yes, you're moving in the right direction, but many people are overthrown when they are rejected and persecuted by the world and things, by their own flesh, and even the spirit of darkness that's coming up against you. You still move forth in the things that God called you to. I feel a cry in the wilderness today. Still, those who truly believe Scripture will receive its truth and they embrace it wholeheartedly. Moreover, they will experience a lifelong deliverance that only the Word of God could offer. Those who reject the gospel, however, will sense of neutralizing its message and its effectiveness of those who preach it. And we as children of God that are called with the mandate to preach the Word, we must preach the truth. And we cannot water down the truth because we're being persecuted and being rejected. You got to preach the truth like Paul told Timothy. He said, be in season, be instant in season and out of season. Preach the truth when they like you. Preach the truth when they hate you. Preach the truth when they preach a persecution against you, when they abandon you and walking out against you. It's going to take the word of truth. That's going to save men, women, and boys and girls from the hands of Satan today and from sin and the spirit of darkness. Darkness means a lack of knowledge. Darkness means a lack of truth. Darkness meaning not knowing the truth of the word of God. And there are people that are sitting in darkness that say they love God, but they need to know the truth. And we have to mantles of the apostles, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors, we must speak the truth in love and things so that people will know the truth. I just feel that in my spirit that we got to be the sound the alarm. We must be the watchmen and women on the walls and speaking the truth in love, but being instant. Not watering down the truth. Amen. Yes, the Bible said that those that will embrace it and receive the truth will receive the deliverance, that will receive that life-giving power from the truth of God's word. Now, let's look at another point about Paul. Paul was faithful in his pastoring. Acts 20 and 2 through 21 reads on this line. and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, let me stop right there. That's what Pastor Orms was just talking about. We as the pastors, we as apostles, we as prophets, we as the evangelists, as ministers and teachers, the fivefold ministry, we cannot hold back nothing that is going to be profitable unto the people of God so that their souls may be blessed, that they can prosper. We must tell them the truth, even though it may not be popular and things. Even though God may be chastening them, because the Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. I'd rather tell you the truth and you hate me, that you may make it into heaven. I'd rather tell you the truth so that you will not sin. I would rather tell you the truth so that you can be profitable in the kingdom of God and your soul will prosper and be in good health. And so that you can be a profitable person in the kingdom of God, as opposed to you sitting in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, in the spirit of darkness. We got to speak the truth. This is what Paul was talking about. He said, but have shown you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to both the Jews and also the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Now here, let's look at those two pivotal things. Paul said, I told you the truth. He said, I taught publicly. I went from house to house. I was testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks about, number one, repentance towards God. Number two, toward faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have both. Repentance toward God, faith in Jesus Christ. We living in a time where people want to cut out Jesus Christ. You cannot do that. We need the both of them. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Paul was faithful. Let's look. Paul refused to be diverted from his purpose. And that's what Pastor Arms is saying today. You cannot be diverted from your purpose, child of God. You got to set your face like a flint, like what God told you to do. Yes, different things may be going on, but you got to set your mind, your emotion, your spirit, your psychological man, your spiritual makeup, your physical makeup towards the purpose of God, being one with God. And move forward in the things of God like a flint. That I'm not flinting. I'm standing firm on what God told me to do. And I'm going to do it. Here, let's look at Paul. Paul knew that the success of his ministry depend on his faithfulness to the cause of Christ. He refused to allow himself to become distracted from his purpose by numerous persecution he endured. This is not to say you will not be persecuted or rejected. Paul stayed faithful on his course. He continued steadfastly faithful unto what God called him to do. And guess what? That same faithfulness is required of a child of God to accomplish that which God has called them to do. Paul considered it a privilege to share in the fellowship of his suffering of Jesus Christ. We find that over in Philippians 3 and 10. Moreover, he regarded persecution as but a light affliction when compared to his inheritance that awaits all believers in the eternal life to come. And you'll find that over in Romans 8, 18, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. He recognized that. And so, child of God, you may be persecuting, not being persecuted now, but you hold fast. There is a reward for you. It is imperative for the servants of Jesus Christ to remain faithful, even in time of severe persecution. Paul emphasizes to the Ephesian elders that his life was one of absolute faithfulness. Moreover, by his faithfulness, he validated his ministry for Christ and achieved effectiveness in all of his efforts. Now, I want to stop and elaborate for just a moment right there. That is a principle that I want you to grab a hold and walk away from this show and airing and teaching on today. I don't care how gifted a person may be. I don't care how talented a person may be. It can never supersede a person who is faithful. Let me say that again. Your talent and your ability and things is not is greater than your faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. You can have an individual in the house of God that don't have the talent, that don't have the gifts, but they are faithful to God. And what God will do, God will honor that one with the who has been faithful and transcend those gifts that they need for the house of God, the talents that they need, down on that individual because they are faithful. Because sometimes when the one that have the gift, they feel that their gift is going to carry them and they'll be gift come, bring their gift when they want to, bring their talents when they feel like it and things, or want to be paid for their gifts or be paid for their talents. But God said, I will fall down on that one that is faithful to bring that music that I need to my church, that will bring whatever I need to my house because of faithfulness. God honors faithfulness, child of God. And so I encourage you, be faithful. And that's what Paul was. He wasn't diverted from his purpose. He stayed faithful. And I come to speak to you on today. You be faithful. You stay faithful in the house of God. Tell God in your heart, I'm faithful. I'll do it. If you need somebody, I'll be there. Nobody has to beg you to come to church. Nobody has to prompt you to come to the house of God. But because out of love that you have for God and love for the things of God, you will be faithful. And that's what Paul, that's how he was greatly used, because of his faithfulness. Paul was a talented man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a man of law. He was a Roman citizen. And Paul had all the accolades. And what Paul did, he was a gifted man. Paul said he purposed in his mind to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He laid everything to the side and said, all I know is Jesus Christ is in faithfulness and being crucified and things. That's all he wanted to know. And things and be faithful. In other words, he said, I'm not going to let my accolades, my giftedness, to get in the way of me doing the work and the plans of God. And that's what we as children of God, in order to be faithful and successful or a blessing in the house of God, we must be faithful. And don't let attitude, schism, and ism raise up in your heart to divert the plan of God for his house. Amen. Let's look. The key to continued faithfulness. The key to continued faithfulness involves a person's total commitment to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of salvation by faith through grace of God is the only means whereby lost humanity can be reconciled to God. One's only hope of redemption rests in his faith and obedience to the gospel. If he believes, he will repent of his sins and return to God with his whole heart and life. Moreover, he will submit to the water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. There is no other plan by which man may be saved. Paul not only believed the message of salvation, but he felt an acute responsibility to preach it wherever and whenever he had the opportunity to do so. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 9:16, necessity is laid upon me. He even feared the possibility that he could forsake his responsibility and become a castaway. And that you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, let's look at another aspect about Paul. Paul's future prospects. Let's look at this. Over in Acts 2:20 and verse number 22 and 25, it talked about now behold, I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saving that bond and affliction abides me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I am gone preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Paul knew he was getting ready to leave. Paul recognized that this is the end of his course, but he wanted to make sure that those that was coming behind him knew the importance of faithfulness. And let's look at what Paul began to teach on them. First, he talked about the necessity of maintaining the apostolic unity. Paul well understood the necessity of maintaining unity of the apostolic brethren. Through unity, they will receive spiritual strength, and the church will be better positioned to endure persecution and hardship, thereby where they could grow both in numbers and character. We must recognize that's the area that the enemy fights the church with unity, because he recognized that if he can break that unity, he can break the flow of God when the church begins being persecuted and when God's developing the character of the church. And so he keeps men and women in darkness about the unity. Just stand unified with the church. It's not about you. It's not about me, but it's about the church. It's about the gospel that God has given unto us, about what our role in the house of God. That's what the enemy is fighting against. He's not fighting really you and me, your position, my position, but he's fighting an element that is key to the success of the church as a whole, and that's unity. So if he keeps Sally home, or he keeps Sally or Sue in darkness, or X in darkness, then guess what? He's fighting against the unity of the apostolic brethren of the church, or the mandate of the church. I want you to get that principle. Because what the adversary will do will offend the brethren or offend the sister in the house of God. Then he knows that they're breaking down the unity of the church. So when the church is persecuted, the church can't fight strong together. Then the character of Christ is being attacked against the church, and everybody is not standing shoulder to shoulder, face to face, because guess what? The church is being broken down because of schism and ism. But when you find and understand your role in the body as holding fast the unity in every aspect of the body of Christ, then you can be greater effective instrument and tool in the body of Christ. But what the adversary would do is have the brothers and the sisters to look crazy at each other and things. Why do they treat me like that? Why are they acting like that? No, it's an attack against the unity. And because that apostolic unity of the brethren is important. Paul loved the Ephesian church, but he knew the need of the presence in Jerusalem for the feast of the Pentecost, when the multitude of believers and Jews would be gathered. He knew this, that this was getting ready to take place, that the church was born in Jerusalem, and many of the apostles still resided there. He desired to provide valuable encouragement to the brethren and the leaders in Jerusalem. So he wanted to edify. Paul did. He wanted to build up the church and tell them, the church, don't give down. Stay unified. Don't let schism and ism come and break the unity and the sap and the flow of the Holy Ghost and handicap the body. So Paul knew the importance. And don't you know we are still crying out today about the unity of the body of Christ. And the greatest attack is among our children and men. And because the women know how to unify ourselves. The men who is the spiritual heads of the household are coming up under attack, blinded by this world of darkness, not knowing their role, not knowing their function in the body of Christ. The children up under attack, the youth that are up under the attack, not knowing their inheritance of the ones that are future generation to carry the mandate. And so those are where the strong attack is against. And things because of their roles. And so we as children of God, we got to rise up and know what we're fighting against in the house of God. It's not my sister or brother, but it's against the future of the church. The men need to know their roles and things. And it's not about our ego. It's about God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, the body of Christ, holding fast the body of Christ. So Paul under... No illusion or false expectation. Let's look at another point. It said Paul was under no illusion or false expectation of what might he face in Jerusalem. Paul wasn't, he was real. He kept it real. He knew that he was going to face great persecution. He recognized that he was going to come against a great attack against him. And we as children of God, we must face the fact. That, yes, you're going to be up under greater persecution and greater attack, and you cannot let that deter you. He knew of all the profitable backlash that he would encounter at the hand of the unbelieving people or Jews that was there in his time. Their hatred of the gospel of Jesus Christ would virtually be no bound. He even recognized that he might face death himself. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that when you preach the gospel, when you teach the gospel, when you live for God, and when you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a backlash. There will be persecution. You may even face death. But we must recognize that these are real and these are true things. But we cannot back up off of what God is telling us to do. Now, let's look at one other key element and things before I leave the air today. I want to hurriedly go through this so that you can understand some other elements. The secret of possessing the abundant life. Paul, a brave acknowledgement of the possibility that he could face death for the sake of the gospel, we witness a secret of possessing abundant life of Jesus that he spoke of over in John 10:10. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:7-11. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, and cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus Christ may be manifest in our mortal flesh. And so, clearly, Paul had achieved a God-inspired perspective of what life really was all about. Only by allowing one's hope and dream to fully reside in his future eternal inheritance can a person find the necessary strength to endure every trial and hardship. So Paul continued to look forwardly into that eternal inheritance of what he was going to get or attain from God. He continued to hope and to dream and to keep his focus in what God said and what the Word said and living out what the Word said. And so it is that we as children of God, we must keep our mind in tune with God and on him. He said he's going to keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Paul stated in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, persecuted with Christ. When a person is crucified, his fleshly desires and sell out completely to the cause of Jesus Christ. He's ready even to die for the cause if necessary. It opens the door to tremendous spiritual power in Christ. And so when we sit ourselves in that position that we are crucifying our own flesh, our own fleshly desire, and selling out so that we can receive everything that God has to do the work of God, then you're going to receive that dunamis power is going to reside in you. Strangely enough, God sometimes bring individuals to a place of consecration by removing things that would distract them from fulfilling his supreme purpose in their lives. And so we must recognize when things sometimes are taken away from us or being moved out of our way, God is saying he's calling for a consecration, that your focus could be totally on him as he's taking you through this next level in your life, that there be no distraction, that you're focusing on him and him alone, not what's going on, not what people are doing to you, not what people are saying to you, but you keeping your mind and your focus totally on the Lord Jesus Christ as you're walking across those troubled waters. In the human sense, the individual might suffer loss, but they experience gain in the spiritual realm. At some point in your life, Paul suffered loss. He testified that the loss of all things, he enabled him to become crucified with Christ and eventually fulfilled his mission as a chosen vessel. And so sometimes when you even suffer loss, people turning their back on you, abandoning you, you must recognize that you are in fellowship with God. He suffered loss of all things. Oh, that Christian today would learn the secret of total commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. It could be that God's desire for to use us to accomplish much more than we are able to comprehend. Total commitment to Christ will allow us to experience the power of God in greater measure than we have ever dreamed possible. And that is so true because God is able to endow us with that dunamis power as we go through. It's so much more that I would like to say, even in my closing, about this here. Paul stayed faithful. Paul's exhortation to follow his example. Paul began to exhort the Ephesus people at Ephesians to follow him. He said, wherefore I take you to record to this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, to take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, and to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:26-28. The Apostle Paul vindicated his apostleship, and he confirmed his ministry by pointing to his faithfulness through the suffering and his total commitment to the cause. He then admonished his Ephesian elders to follow his own example. You'll see that over in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 9. Selfishness adhered to the principle of godliness is what truly reflected the presence of indwelling God in us. By observing and emulating Paul's example, as well as of the other apostles, we too can reflect Jesus in our own life. For others to see Christ in us is a powerful force in converting the lost to the world of this world. It is observable reality of God in this world, in this life of the true believer, that impacts the heart of lost individual and convince them of their need to salvation when we are being the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today. And we have to continue to be that example. How tremendously important it is for an individual to demonstrate a positive testimony for Christ throughout his fulfillment of God's will in the life of believers. A significant point of Paul's final commitment to the elders at Ephesus was his intention to help them understand their need to maintain a positive testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need in the world today, a positive testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then would they fulfill the will of God. But this principle is not just for the elders of Ephesus. It is a principle that all Christians should follow today. Paul stated he was pure from all the blood of all men. In other words, he was saying, he was declaring that he has not failed to discharge his responsibility to the church of Ephesus. He stayed true to the cause of God. Paul also declared that the whole counsel of God to the Ephesus, and he held nothing back from them. He fulfilled his God-given responsibility in declaring God's word and became a pattern to all who preach the word of God. Therefore, it is an overwhelming need for the ministers of today who will declare the whole gospel of God, even if it results in persecution and ridicule. We must continue to stay on the wall. Some are frequently manipulating the scriptures for personal gain and may have profound discard the fundamental doctrine of the Bible. We cannot discard God's word. We got to be true ministers and preach the truth without favor and without fear. Sometimes you're not going to be favored. Everybody's not going to love you after you preach the word of God and teach the truth. But you got to be instant in season and out of season when they hate you, when they love you. One minute they will say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then they may turn around and say, persecute her, persecute him. But you got to stay true to the call. Every pastor must take heed to their personal relationship with God and to that of the people whom they pastoring. They must not hesitate to declare the full truth to all those that are under their charge. You must speak the truth. Number one, the Holy Ghost has made every pastor an overseer. The church ultimately belongs to God. Pastors are only overseers or caretakers of Christ's church. The church is not a club. It's not a fraternity. It's not a business that is operated according to man-made rules. It is selected, nor is it selected by a group of individuals who's given it, but it is God himself who has determined and made it possible for overseers to be faithful unto God first and to discharge the word of God in truth and in love, being instant in season and out of season. And so here it is in my clothing. We must be faithful to God in our own personal walk with God and be faithful to those which we minister to, those which we serve, by not shunning the truth, by speaking the truth in love, being instant in season and out of season. Open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says that. And we must recognize that as children of God, we must be about our Father's business and do the work as God has called us to. And I want to continue this here lesson. We will pick this lesson back up because it's not finished. I have to go. We're getting ready to close in just a few minutes, but I want you to know we must be faithful in our walk with God. God honor faithfulness, and he honor faith. And we must be faithful unto the place where God has called us to. Because remember, the key is your unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, so that the dunamis power can flow through his house, and the revival and the miracles that we've seen in the days of old can still yet be prevalent in the house of God, because we've chosen to stand unified in the body of Christ. So, child of God, I speak to your spirit as never before, to be instant in season and out of season, but to understand the principle of unity, which is so powerful and important, and the fabric of the church, the fabric of the family, fabric of the community, fabric of our whole society, is the unity in the family, unity in the church, and unity even with ourselves, with God. You've got to be one with God, as what God is doing with you, one in your heart, one in your mind, one in your spirit, and be committed to the things of God. I pray that you have been blessed from this lesson, and I pray that the spirit of unity will be rested upon your spirit and your heart, and that you'll come into the revelation and knowledge of unity and the principle of that and the power of that, that you can be a greater force in the ministry that God has called you to, as you unify yourself with God, with yourself, with the things that God has called you to do, your family, as you move forward doing the work of God. And in my closing, I want you to know, child of God, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing, because you have been faithful, sticking with this. You come back to home, and God is going to strengthen you. God is going to bless your ministry. God is going to undergird you. God is going to bless you with the money that you need, and your family is going to be blessed, your children and your children's children. And I'm in agreement with you of whatever you have need, that God is going to bless you. And so in my closing, I want you to visit my website, ShekinahGlory.com. I like to hear from you, your comments and things. But what most of all, I want you to know, I want you to partner with me as we pray together and take this gospel even to the lost and do the work in the will of God as never before in these last times. And so I want you to know I love you, and I'm excited about what God is doing. And so until we meet again, I want you to remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one prayer away from your blessing, one question, one knocking on that door. I continue to seek, and you're going to find. I hear the Bible said, ask, and it shall, you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. And so I continue to encourage you to continue to seek, and continue to find. And don't you dare give up. Don't you dare back up. And don't you dare throw in the towel. I don't care if you have to cry your way through. You hold on and you hold out. Because the God in which you serve, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask, there it is, or think. According to the power that is working and within you, keep on asking and watch God do it on your behalf. Won't you know I love you? And my God bless you until you come back home on tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.